Well, I want you to put yourself in the place of one of the 10 lepers. Leprosy in the Bible often refers to a variety of skin diseases, whether that's boils or lesions or what we commonly know as Hansen's disease. In some cases, the disease would be very painful. You would lose feeling in your extremities. And in other cases, there would be such disfigurement that your nose would cave in. Now, on top of all this physical suffering, there was the social stigma that came with being a leper as well. And one could argue that the social ramifications of leprosy were more painful and severe than the physical suffering itself. You were forced into complete isolation from all of those who were clean and who did not have leprosy themselves. This meant being totally separated from your loved ones, and you had to live outside of the camp. You cannot touch or be touched by anyone. There is no physical contact, no comforting embrace, no physical affection. You had to appear disheveled so that others can easily identify you as being a leper and therefore keep their distance from you. Perhaps the closest modern day example or parallel would be when someone coughed during the time of COVID, right? If you were in public and someone near you coughed, what did you do? You backed up, didn't you, right? Having a cough, an innocent cough, right, during the COVID era was deemed that person a leper that you had to back away from and avoid. And lastly, leprosy was considered divine punishment at that time. And so rumors would spread as to what heinous sin you did to deserve such punishment. Now, on top of all of this, there was no cure. You had to just ride it out. And so you could be suffering from leprosy for days or decades. Can you imagine the physical burden and the social stigma for years? It's no wonder why leprosy drove a person to isolation, despair, and hopelessness. And so that is what I want you to think about as we consider these 10 lepers in our passage this morning in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. My approach in preaching the message this morning will be as follows. First, I'm going to discuss what this passage reveals to us about Jesus, what we learn about Jesus from this passage. Secondly, what we learn about this grateful leper who returns and gives thanks to Jesus, what we learn about him. And then third, what we learn about the other 9 lepers. Okay, so we're going to learn about 3 types of people, 3 groups of people, who Jesus is, who the grateful leper is, and who the other 9 lepers are. And so let's begin. Just from these few verses, we learn quite a bit about who Jesus is. And so I want to draw your attention to just 4 things this morning. First, Jesus is compassionate and merciful. Notice that he is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, will be rejected, will be killed, and then will be raised. And yet, he shows great compassion and mercy to the 10 lepers when they cry out to him. He still has time for them. He was under no obligation to heal any of them of their leprosy. And he could have healed only the leper that he knew would be grateful, and not heal the other 9 lepers that he knew would not return to give him thanks. But Jesus is compassionate, and he's merciful, and he heals all 10 lepers of their leprosy. Second, Jesus is powerful. He did not need to physically touch or go near the lepers in order to heal them. He could have, because remember, that's exactly what he did when he healed the leper back in Luke chapter 5, verse 13. But in the passage this morning, Jesus merely commands, he merely commands them to go and show themselves to the priests. which is what the Mosaic Law said to do after your leprosy apparently was gone. And so Jesus is saying, note this, he's saying, start making your way to the priests and trust that I will heal you before you get there. And that is exactly what happens. Jesus heals all 10 lepers from their leprosy while they are on their way to the priests. This shows Jesus' incredible power to heal from a distance. He simply commanded it, and it happened at the appointed time that he planned. This is not an ordinary power. This is divine power to be able to heal from a distance in this fashion simply by his command. No one can do that apart from God. This passage reveals the incredible power and divine power that Jesus has. Third, this passage reveals that Jesus is the Messiah. This demonstration of divine power in healing and cleansing the lepers was a subtle sign of the Messiah's arrival. Back in Luke chapter 7, we were there, several months ago. John the Baptist was in jail, and he sends two of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask Jesus, "Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we be waiting for another?" And if you remember, this is how Jesus responds. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus says this, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them." And so, in response to John, Jesus references all these passages from Isaiah, which point to and talk about this age of salvation, where God will send his Messiah to come and save and rescue his people. And all these sorts of things will happen. The blind will receive sight. The lame will walk. Lepers will be healed. And so Jesus, by referencing these passages, is effectively saying, John, I am the Messiah. You don't have to wait for another one. As evidenced by all these things that are happening, I am the one who was promised to come. And so, in our passage this morning, as Jesus heals these 10 lepers, it was a subtle sign that Jesus is the Messiah, that the kingdom of God has broken through into this world, and that God is beginning his salvation plan, his rescue plan, through the Messiah, which is Jesus. And the fourth thing we learn about Jesus from this passage is that he is worthy to be thanked and honored. Notice from the one that when the one former leper returns, he falls down at Jesus' feet and gives him thanks. Now, at minimum, this is an act of great reverence and honor. It very well could have been an act of worship. This man clearly recognized that God was working through Jesus in healing him. Therefore, he was compelled to give honor and thanks to Jesus who healed him. Now, it's important to notice that when this happens, when this man gets down on his hands and knees and on his face and gives thanks to Jesus, Jesus does not rebuke him. He does not say, "Get up, don't do that. You only do that to God." He welcomed it. And why did he welcome it? Because he deserves it. Jesus is deserving to be thanked, to be honored. And that is the fourth thing that we learn about Jesus. Jesus is worthy to be praised, worthy to be thanked, worthy to be honored. And so, those are the four very quick things that we learn about Jesus from this passage. Now I want to look more closely at the one man, the one former leper who returns after Jesus heals him. When the passage begins, we are told that there was a group of lepers, a group of 10 of them who had leprosy, and this horrible, isolating, debilitating, depressing skin disease in which they are suffering from. Okay, now lepers typically banded together into an unclean colony, so to speak, because it was the only other people that they can associate with. They cannot associate with those who are clean, and so usually lepers kind of stuck together because they could at least be around one another. Now, we are not told how long each of these 10 lepers suffered from leprosy. It could have been years that they were each suffering from it. But each of these 10 men, it was clear, were desperate. They were desperate for physical healing. They longed to be cleansed and restored. And so when they see Jesus, they must have heard about him, known something about him, and they see Jesus, and that's when they cry out in desperation, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This was a desperate cry for Jesus to pity them and to heal them immediately from their leprosy. Now, we've already discussed what Jesus does in response. He sends them off and tells them to go to the priest to show themselves to them. And along the way, Jesus completely heals all 10 of them from their leprosy. Now, stop and consider for a moment how each of these men must have felt when they realized that they were healed of their leprosy. When they realized that the leper's spots were gone. It must have been years since each man was part of a normal society. All 10 men likely thought that there was no hope. No hope of being cleansed. No hope of being with their family. No hope of being healed. They had consigned themselves to a life of depression and isolation. But now, instantaneously, Jesus changed everything for them. Everything. Each man must have felt sheer, inexpressible joy. How could they not? He can go back to living with their family. He could hold his wife's hand, give his wife a kiss on the cheek. He could wrestle with his young son again. He can hold his young daughter in his arms. He could be with people again in community. He could share a meal properly. He was no longer isolated, no longer an outsider, no longer to be shunned and shooed away. No longer would he hear people whispering about him behind his back. He is free from his leprosy and healed completely. Hope and joy have now replaced despair and depression. But here is where the story for one of the former lepers deviates from the other 9. One of these former lepers, after seeing that he has been miraculously healed, he turns back and goes to Jesus in order to give him thanks. And he's praising God with a loud voice along the way. He must see Jesus to give him thanks. And so this former leper's response to God's grace is to glorify God and to give him thanks. He knows that God has showed him undeserved, unmerited grace in healing him from his leprosy. And so his most natural, his only response is that he must praise God. He must give thanks. Notice that when he returns and gives thanks to Jesus, that he falls down at Jesus' feet. It's a beautiful sight because before he had to stand off at a distance because of his leprosy. But now, he can draw near to Jesus. He can be at his feet because he is completely cleansed. It's at this point of the story that a bit of shocking information is revealed. This former leper who is praising God and giving thanks to Jesus is a Samaritan, right? Gasp. It's like the twist in the story. This would be quite shocking since, Samaritans were absolutely despised by the Jews. To the Jews, the Samaritans were no good foreigners who did not follow God properly. They did not worship God rightly. And so clearly, the Jews thought, God would never receive a despicable Samaritan. But in this passage, we see that that is clearly not the case. Jesus does indeed receive the Samaritan. And the reason he does is because this grateful former leper exhibits genuine faith. He alone of the 10 lepers that were healed responded correctly to God's demonstration of grace. He responded in faith to God when God bestowed upon him unmerited grace in cleansing him of his leprosy. But Jesus does not stop showing grace to this former leper there. In response to this grateful man's genuine faith, Jesus says in verse 19, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, that last verb translated "made you well" is literally the verb "to save." And so more literally, Jesus is saying, "Your faith has saved you." And this is exactly what Jesus said back in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, to the woman who suffered from that blood condition, right? She was suffering for 12 years, bleeding, and then she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and then Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." This is exactly what Jesus will say to the blind beggar in Luke chapter 18, verse 42. "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well." Now, in all three of these instances, yes, the person is healed physically. They are made well from their condition. But the use of the verb to save also carries clear indication of spiritual healing as well. It's important to note that in the other verses in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, that talk about the healing of the lepers, Luke uses a different verb to talk about their cleansing and their healing. But he uses the saved verb only for this one leper here in verse 19. I think it is right to translate what Jesus said as in verse 19 as "your faith has saved you." It is a physical healing, yes, but also a spiritual healing. And so in our passage this morning, the former leper's response of genuine faith to God's grace leads to his salvation. He is not just healed physically, but he is also healed spiritually. He is not just cleansed, but he is made whole. His genuine faith has saved him. Now remember, this really actually happened. This is not a parable. It sounds like one, doesn't it? But it is not a parable that uses twist endings to get his point across. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan, who also had a Samaritan as the twist. No, this actually happened in human history. There were really 10 men who suffered from leprosy, who really cried out to God, cried out to Christ to save them, to heal them, who were really healed along the way, and there was really one leper, and only one leper, who came back to give thanks to Jesus. We will meet this man in heaven one day. Think about that. and he was a despised Samaritan. This disdained foreigner is an unexpected example of real, genuine faith. This outsider showed us how to rightly respond to God's lavish demonstrations of his grace. This Samaritan was a former leper who was an outsider of God's kingdom. But now he is a faithful saint brought inside God's kingdom. Now, as a side note, before we move on to the last point, this passage ought to give you hope that no one is too far outside the kingdom of God such that God can't bring them in. In an instant, God can show your loved one, can give your loved one saving faith and cause him to respond in faith, just like the former leper. Don't give up hope for your loved ones who seem impossibly far away from God. Continue to pray for them. Continue to witness to them. Continue to love them and to point them to Jesus. And maybe by God's grace, he may grant them repentance and say, "Your faith has saved you." Okay, so we have seen from this passage what it reveals about Jesus, what it reveals about this one grateful leper, former leper, I should say, and now let's take a look at what it reveals about the other nine lepers who were also healed. These nine lepers all received physical healing as well. They all were miraculously cleansed of this awful skin condition that was so isolating and depressing. They certainly had the same joyful reaction that the one grateful leper had. And they all knew that Jesus was the one who healed them. Remember, they all cried out for mercy and healing. They all obeyed Jesus' command to go and show themselves to the priests even before they were healed. They all exhibited some level of trust in Jesus to heal them. Otherwise, they would have never left to go show themselves to the priests to begin with. So they had to be some level of trust in Jesus. There would have been no doubt in any of their minds that Jesus was the one who healed them. And yet, nine of them don't turn back to give thanks to Jesus. These nine did not respond to Jesus or to God's grace with thanksgiving to God. They did not respond in faith. Now, Jesus' rhetorical questions in verses 17 and 18 are an indictment of sort at the nine former lepers who did not come back to give thanks to him. He is rebuking them for their ingratitude and their utter failure to respond in faith. Jesus' question in verse 18 is particularly biting in that he's effectively saying, how is it that this foreigner responded to God in faith to God's gracious act of healing, and these other nine did not? Their failure to respond in faith, it turns out, has significant consequences. Though they were healed physically, they were not healed spiritually like the grateful leper was. They failed to be made truly whole and well because of their lack of genuine faith. Unlike the one grateful leper, these nine former lepers did not possess genuine faith and therefore were not saved. Now, before we close, let me draw two lessons or applications from Jesus' encounter with the 10 lepers. First, miracles are not needed for salvation. Miracles are not needed for salvation. I bring this up mainly because I made this exact point 2 weeks ago when I was preaching on the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Here is a real life demonstration of this truth in action. The nine lepers all witnessed a miracle. In fact, the miracle was actually done to them. They were healed of their leprosy. And yet, these nine lepers did not respond in saving faith. They did not return to God to give thanks. They did not turn to God in thanksgiving. They did not praise Him, and they did not have genuine faith. This account debunks the notion that many people say, well, if only I were to see God perform a miracle, then I would start believing in Him. It's just simply not true. Witnessing a miracle will not save anyone. Genuine faith in Christ is the only way anyone is saved. Second lesson or application, God extends grace to all, and some respond in faith, and others don't. Notice that God showers undeserved, unmerited grace on all 10 lepers in healing them of their disease. But only one responds in faith, while the other 9 don't. And as a result of their failure to respond in faith, they missed out on the greater blessing, the greater healing, namely spiritual healing and salvation. The same can be said of all people everywhere. God extends incredible grace to you and me every single day. Did you wake up this morning? Are you able to walk? To see, to hear, to talk? Is gravity still working? Is the sun still shining? Is the earth revolving around the sun at a safe distance? Do you have a roof over your head? Clothes on your back? Food in your pantry? Has God provided for your needs? Has God given us the intelligence to make medicine and perform surgeries? God has protected you from countless tragedies that you are totally unaware of. God has guided you in the way you should go and has steered you away from the path that you should not go many times without you being aware of it at all. The Bible tells us that our very breath is held in God's hands. In other words, every single breath that you take is a gift of God's grace that He gives you. All of this is a mere sampling. It's a sampling of God's incredible, unmerited, undeserved grace that He extends to all people everywhere throughout the globe, throughout the generations. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, "For God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." That is grace. Some respond to His countless gifts of grace with thanksgiving and praise and faith, which leads them to receiving God's gift of salvation, but others simply take for granted God's innumerable acts of grace. They respond just like the 9 lepers in our passage this morning. They respond to God's grace with cosmic ingratitude and fail to demonstrate genuine faith in God. And as a result, they will not receive the greater gift of salvation. And so my question for you this morning is, how are you responding to God's countless gifts of grace? Are you responding with thanksgiving, praise, and faith? Or with ingratitude, indifference, and faithlessness. Be like the grateful leper and respond to God's gracious gifts with thanksgiving and faith. As we close, let me draw our attention to one more thing. The reality is that this story is more like our story than we realize. We are all spiritual lepers. Our natural inclination to sin is a spiritual leprosy of sorts. It has infected us with a disease that is slowly killing us. The more that you focus on pridefully exalting yourself at the expense of others, the more isolated you will feel. The more that your main focus is increasingly on your own selfish gain and pleasure, you will slowly fall into despair. And if we do nothing with our spiritual leprosy, we will die in our sin and be condemned to hell for eternity. We desperately need to be cleansed of our spiritual leprosy, just like the 10 desperately needed to be cleansed of their physical leprosy. And just as Jesus was compassionate and merciful and powerful to heal those 10 lepers physically, so Jesus is compassionate, merciful, and powerful to heal you of your spiritual leprosy forever. The good news, this is the good news of how Jesus heals spiritual lepers like you and me. We must remember that Jesus lived a perfect life in which he never once sinned. He was totally obedient to God the Father in all that he did, every minute of every moment of every day of his life. And part of that obedience was heading to Jerusalem, where he would be rejected and where he would suffer immensely. The Son of God, God himself, was mocked, insulted, ridiculed, spit on, severely beaten, and nailed like a piece of meat to a wooden cross. But his suffering and death was not purposeless. God the Father and God the Son, from before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, planned that this would be how God would save his true people. Jesus would go to the cross and he would carry the sins of all true believers on his shoulders. And God the Father would unleash the full fury of his wrath directed toward those sins. And it would crush Jesus. It would kill him. This means that those who truly trust in Christ as their Lord, as their Savior, as their greatest treasure, that is, if you are one of God's truly chosen people, then Jesus died in your place. He acted as your substitute and paid the full penalty that all of your past, present, and future sins deserve. And as a result of Jesus' death in your place and his glorious resurrection from the grave, all of your sins are fully forgiven, and your relationship with God is restored. You are declared and counted righteous in God's sight. And all of this, the bearing of God's wrath that we deserve, the forgiveness of your sins, the restoration of your relationship with God, the being counted righteous in God's sight, all of it is a gift of God's grace that he gives to those who trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are in no way, shape, or form able to earn your salvation by good works or by being a good person or giving enough money to a church. Salvation, or if we can tie it to our passage this morning, being cleansed from our spiritual leprosy is entirely a gift of God's grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved, we are cleansed from our spiritual leprosy by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so everyone on this planet is a spiritual leper in desperate need of Jesus to heal them. And God graciously extends the offer of salvation and cleansing to all people without exception. No matter how sinful your past is, or how far you've run away from God and rebelled against Him, or any other excuse that you can make, God's grace is freely offered to all. Jesus cries out, "If anyone is spiritually thirsty, come to me, and I will give you water from the fountain of living water to drink deeply and satisfy your soul. If anyone is hungry, come to me, and I will give you the bread of life that will fully satiate your hungry soul. If you are weary, if you are downcast, if you are stressed and burdened and from a life of sin and uncertainty and hopelessness and despair, come to me and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Come to me to be saved. Come to me to be washed clean from your spiritual leprosy." The gospel invitation goes out to everyone without exception. God's grace, His gracious offer of salvation goes to all, but many will reject it. Many will ignore it. Many will scoff at it. Many will be offended by it. Many will convince themselves that Jesus is one of many ways to heaven. Many will put it off to think about it later when they're not so busy. Many will fail to respond in faith and will completely close out Jesus and never come to Him. And these many will face eternal judgment. And so what about you? What about you listening online this morning? Are you part of that many? How will you respond to God's gracious offer of salvation? If you have responded to God's amazing grace by demonstrating genuine faith in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, and as your greatest treasure, then continue to respond to Him. Continue to respond to Him with thanksgiving, praise, and faith. Continue to give Him thanks for His countless gifts of grace to you. Continue to praise Him for saving you from your sins and cleansing you from your spiritual leprosy. Continue to follow Him in faith by walking in obedience to His word and to His will. But if you have not responded to God's word, if you have not responded to God's grace with faith, then I plead with you this morning, receive Jesus today. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ. That is the only way for you to be healed of your spiritual leprosy. And so, church, respond to God's gracious gifts with thanksgiving and faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus, who is the one who cleanses the leper spots and melts this heart of stone. We trust that Jesus paid it all. That is Him and Him alone that deserves to be worshipped and glorified and honored, for He is the one that saves His true people from their sins. We thank You, Jesus, that You went to the cross and that You bore the sins of all of those who truly believe in You, and that we, when we trust in You and treasure You and submit to You as our Lord and Savior, that You are faithful and just and mighty and compassionate and powerful to cleanse us of our spiritual leprosy and make us white as snow. You transform us. You give us a heart transplant, taking our heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh so that we may walk in obedience to your word and in your ways. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, those who have already been cleansed, to continue to give you thanks and praise and to worship you and to follow Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to live and walk in that fashion. And Lord, for those here and for our loved ones who are not walking in your ways, who are still suffering from spiritual leprosy, I pray, God, I pray that you would soften their hearts and that you would open their eyes, that they would see and savor you, Christ, that you would give them saving faith, that they would turn from their ways and run to you. They cannot turn, they cannot run, they cannot believe in you, God, if you do not give them faith. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do so. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to leave with a grateful heart that gives praise and honor and glory to your name. Help us, God, to continue to worship you as the God who has forgiven us of our sins, is the God who has saved us. We love you, our Lord and our King. And we praise these things, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.